We have before us the opportunity to forge a new world order.
There is a man behind the curtain. This isn't the Wizard of Oz. The shakeup to the music business machine.
That sounds fun!
This is a far more deadly predator than anyone ever imagined.
Perfectly designed.
I wonder which came first.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Neil Haley Show's Total Celebrity segment. I'm excited to welcome the program Jay Coot, Rose Short, and Ricky Duran from The Voice. Guys, how are you?
Doing well.
Fantastic. Jake, first question for you. Tell me how it felt once you learned you made the Final Four, that kind of aspiration feeling, that kind of I cannot believe it. Take us back to that.
I almost started crying, you know, as soon as I got done hugging Hello Sunday and walking off the stage. And then when I got backstage, I was definitely bawling like a baby, and I had to take a moment, because it just, you know, every step of the way you think that's the last week, that's the last time you're going to get to perform on that stage. And now to actually make it to the very end and be among this incredible group of people is just, I mean, it's incredibly overwhelming.
What, Jake, what would you say is your greatest moment on The Voice so far? Because that was awesome, but I'm sure you have a story to tell that kind of jumps into that more, like to talk more about what, like, these moments that you've had in this journey.
Absolutely. I think, you know, obviously one of the big moments was getting a chair turned during the blinds, but I think as far as performance-wise, you know, getting to sing Desperado, that was the first performance I walked out there and wasn't nervous, and I played so many shows back home, and I went out there with the mentality of, you know what, I'm just going to go out here and have a good time. And I honestly felt like I was back home. The world around me stopped, and I just completely, you know, just immersed myself into that song, and that was probably the most fun I'd had on that stage this entire time.
Oh, that's got to be a tremendous feeling, Jake. And for the fans out there, where's the best place we can connect with you, Jake, and learn more about you? Where can we go?
Absolutely. I've got a Facebook page, Jake Coot. And then, of course, I've got Jake Coot Music on Instagram. Hit me up on there. I try my best to keep up and respond to everybody, but especially right now, we're running nonstop, and so it's hard to get back. But, yeah, definitely, you know, hit me up on there and shoot me a message, and you know, I'll definitely get back as soon as I can.
And that's the thing. Your fans are what made you, right, Jake? And without the fans, you're nothing in this process.
Absolutely. I think that's one of the most challenging things, is to always keep that in mind, because, you know, up to a certain point, the coaches are the ones pushing you through. And then once you make lives, it's all about the fans. And every time I go out there, and I think any of us go out there, you know, that's what we're thinking about, is we're trying to connect and trying to, you know, create a moment for everybody to enjoy.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Total Celebrity Show on the Neil Haley Network. And I'm excited to welcome the program Teresa Romer. Teresa, thanks for calling. Entrepreneur, author, fitness, YouTuber, social media influencer, everything in between. And I'm just so impressed looking on social media with you and your good pal Dominic showing your 3,000-foot closet, and I'm excited to chat with you today.
Definitely. Thanks for having me. Thanks a lot.
You had a journey from starting out in Nebraska. So tell me kind of a little bit about that story and that background in Nebraska. But you went through a lot of heartache and pain in your life and adversity to be where you are today. But it all started in Nebraska, right?
Yeah, it's funny. Most people don't realize when they see you now, they don't realize where you came from. They just think you've always been the way you are now. And, you know, I started out as a little girl on a farm in Nebraska with rheumatic fever 4 different times, which left me with a heart murmur. And, you know, it was a struggle to just be normal in life. And that's probably where I got my journey that I went on to in fitness, was because I refused to give in to the doctors and be a sick little kid and have to stay inside. And so I journeyed into fitness, and that took me on my road into fitness, which took me into scholarships, which took me into owning my own health clubs and being a personal trainer for 30 years, which took me into climbing Mount Kilimanjaro. But along that way, you know, many, many different other hardships, including, you know, losing my little brother from a massive heart attack at 23, losing my own son in a car accident at 19, losing my father at the young age of 70. You know, just, you know, life is filled full of heartaches, but you have to be able to overcome them all the way.
Teresa, you're the first person I met that had rheumatic fever that I've interviewed in my career in 10 years. I had it too as a kid in ninth grade. I was diagnosed with it. And I'm 6'10", 300 plus pounds now, but I was a frail being when I got that diagnosis. I didn't have any heart problems, but I dealt with the pain of the joints and how you can walk up the steps. And people don't know how debilitating that disease is when you get it.
Right. Well, and our problem is we lived on a ranch remotely, very far from town. And so, you know, back in those days when you got a cold or strep throat, that, you know, your parents just tried to treat you. And so unbeknownst to my mother, every time I would get strep throat, it would lead into rheumatic fever. And I ended up with it four different times, which left me with a heart murmur. But it's very debilitating, you know, and to be told that you would never be normally, that your heart would never allow you to be a normal child or even remotely have children as an adult. And to be able to overcome all of that and strengthen my own heart was just, you know, the candle on the cake.
How did you tell people you're not going to listen to what they say and say, I'm going to do what I want to do? Who taught you to have that strong will to keep going even through all the adversity you've had?
You know, I don't think anyone told me that. I just felt like when the doctors told me at Children's Hospital in Omaha, Nebraska, that I would just be a sickly child, that I would have to watch all the other kids outside play and I would have to stay inside because I would be too weak. I just thought, you cannot tell me I can't be normal. Like, I don't know if I was born with that desire or, you know, because to this day, when someone tells me I can't do something, I'm like, okay, watch me, you know? So I don't know. Maybe I was born with that. I don't know, but I just was bound and determined not to let some doctor tell me that I was not going to get to be normal and run and play outside with other kids. And so I went against everyone's will. I went against my mother, my father, everybody. And as I continued to get older, I loved sports. I just thrived in sports. And I became a world-class athlete against everyone's wishes, which led me to getting a basketball scholarship, which led me into the field of fitness, you know. But by the age of 19, they were able to actually take me off my daily dose of penicillin, which, you know, helped keep strep throat away, and said to me, you were able to strengthen your heart so well that we can hardly call you a heart patient anymore. But, you know, we can still to this day, they can still hear my heart murmur up to somewhere around 180 beats a minute. But, you know, I've never let that heart murmur determine what I can and cannot do in life. I climbed Mount Kilimanjaro at the age of 50. You know, I was a world-class bodybuilder. Took the U.S. Open in 1999, went on to be Mrs. Texas in beauty pageants. You know, I've never let anything stop me. When people tell me they don't think I can do it, I just do it.
I love that attitude, and that's got to be very inspiring when people listen to what you talk about. Because, again, so many people go through trials and tribulations, and then they just kind of go and allow it to really bother them. I guess hearing a story like yours can inspire a lot of people.
Yeah, but, you know, people forget that, you know, doctors are not God. And, you know, they can give you their advice, but, you know, there's a higher power in this world besides the doctor. So, I don't know. Somehow as a little kid, I felt that and I knew that. I don't know how, but thank you.
And you're inspiring me to remind myself of the days when I had to take penicillin during my college basketball career. There's so many similarities. It's crazy. I too took penicillin all through my college years, just because that's what they did to treat it. And you're in your 50s, I'm in my 40s. So it was a little differently how they treated rheumatic fever from that time to my time. And that was so tough. It's like, oh my gosh, got to take my pill. I'm healthy as can be, except that. It's just like, wow. And you're always afraid every time you get a sore throat. Oh no, I can't. And that's always told me I can't get rheumatic fever. And I mean, I cannot get strep throat, and I have gotten it a couple times, but it's just the living everything out of me when I get it.
Right. But you know, from, you know, every time I ended up with rheumatic fever, I laid in a hospital and it was painful. It was bed rest. It was terrible. And once you've had to do that, you do everything in your power not to have to go through that again.
Absolutely. All right. So let's kind of go to, you talked about fitness. You went from basketball to fitness. Who got you involved in being in fitness big time? You played basketball. Who got you to like lifting? You were in unbelievable shape. You're in unbelievable shape now, but you were in unbelievable shape when you were training in fitness types of things when you were in your 20s and 30s. But who kind of got you involved in that?
Once again, it was me. every time I get involved in something, it's because of me, not because of anyone else. But I had graduated from high school. I was supposed to go on to Black Hills State University from a basketball scholarship. But, you know, in Nebraska and Wyoming, there was no such thing back then as go to college. It was, you know, you're supposed to get married and have children and live in a little house with a picket fence and have 2.4 children. And so, you know, I followed what your family tells you to do. And so unfortunately, because I missed my sport, the little town that I lived in had opened up this little aerobic center, and one of my girlfriends wanted me to go there with her just to watch. And I couldn't just watch. I had to participate. And the aerobics instructor just said, "Oh my God, you have so much rhythm, you know, you caught on to this." And I said, "Well, I was a cheerleader in high school, of course, you know, and from my athletic abilities." And so I immediately started teaching aerobics, which led me to, you know, competing back in those days, it was called the Reebok Aerobic Championships. I'm aging myself. And then I went on from that to become a certified Nautilus instructor, which is now called a personal trainer, but just loved sports, you know, and so it just seemed to come natural to me.
And then the gym business, right? After that success, you had that entrepreneurial mindset. And I'm not going to ask that same question again. Who led you to that? It's you. You make the decisions. I'm listening to you and saying, okay, Teresa says, I'm doing it. I'm doing it. So you said, I got this idea. I'm going to be an entrepreneur and I'm going to own gyms because you're a personal trainer. You make some sort of decent money. But said, no, I want to do something that's going to help transform me and other people just like myself. And I can't reach as many people by just personal training. I got to own gyms.
Well, you know, I was married and then I tragically got divorced. And so while I was married, I was teaching aerobics as a hobby is what I thought. And so when I got divorced, I thought, oh my God, now I have to make a living. What do I do? And so I took on 4 part-time jobs and was carrying 16 credit hours in college. And I just was beating my head against the wall. Like, what am I going to do to raise these children? You know, I'm on my own now. And suddenly it was like, oh my God, what you used to do for fun, you can actually make a living at now, which was, you know, teaching aerobics and personal training. And I loved the entrepreneurial side of me being my own boss. And right. So before you knew it, I was like, hell, why stop here? Let's just own my own gym. And so I did. I got an SBA loan and opened up my first gym, which led to me opening up a chain of gyms, which led me to selling my chain and becoming a self-made millionaire.
And once you became a millionaire, then you came up with more ideas, right? More things.
Well, you know, it doesn't stop there.
No, it doesn't.
Well, you know, just because, you know, some people think, oh, once I reach $1 million, I'll quit. And I've never known a millionaire that doesn't want to be a billionaire. And so you're never satisfied. You just want to keep making more and more and more. And so then after I sold my health clubs, I became a health club consultant where I would go and teach people how to turn their health clubs around, which led to one of the biggest health club chains back then hiring me, which was Bally Total Fitness. Hired me to come on as a district senior supervisor to oversee different.
We have before us the opportunity to forge a new world order.
There is a man behind the curtain. This isn't the Wizard of Oz. The shakeup to the music business machine.
That sounds fun!
This is a far more deadly predator than anyone ever imagined.
Perfectly designed.
I wonder which came first.
Cyrus Mission USA.
Cyber Station USA is the future of radio. Get your business into the online future at the world's largest internet radio station. From banner placement on our homepage to any of our broadcaster stages, commercials on our video player, audio spots on any of our shows, or at the beginning of any of our on-demand broadcasts. Cyber Station USA offers competitive rates with a worldwide reach, a fully integrated one-stop shop social media broadcast platform. For more information, please contact our sales department at cameo@cyberstationusa.com.
Cameo Entertainment Group and CyberStation USA are now part of Stitcher, a free radio app for your smartphone. With Stitcher, you can listen to live programming as well as archive radio programming right on your phone. To obtain Stitcher, just go to the App Store for your particular phone. Go to search, then type in Stitcher. That's Stitcher. S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
Then download. It's that simple.
Stitcher,
a free radio app for your smartphone. Convenient access to live and archive CyberStation USA programming on your mobile phone. That's Stitcher.
S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
CyberStation USA, always on the go.
Every so often you have technology come along that rewrite the rules of the game.
Digital culture isn't characterized by the home computer.
You speak instantly to a man standing on the shore of France.
The CyberStation, the USA, the .com.
Worldwide. Everything has changed.
A new age.
The biggest ride in all of history.
This is CyberStationUSA.com.
Worldwide.
This is the future.
The future.
Radio.
The future.
The future of radio.
And that really is the message.
Different areas, which led me from California to Texas, and that's where I'm at now. And so, but once then, yeah, I'm never satisfied. So besides just doing that for ballets, I also got my real estate license. So I started doing real estate also. So I was really doing two careers at a time. And then I finally let go of the ballets because it was taking way too much time. And settled on just real estate, but then that wasn't enough. And so then, you know, I still wanted to be my own boss even more. So that's when I started creating my own clothing lines, candle lines, pillow lines, fitness wear lines. You know, I'm a motivational speaker. I just can't get enough. Then I went into social media. I have my own YouTube channel. I'm a social media influencer for many, many, many different brands. And I just love it. I just love being my own boss. I love working. I can't get enough.
So tell me your schedule on a regular basis. You talked about all the you talk about how busy you are and what time do you get up in the morning and what time do you go to bed?
I roughly get up around 6:37 in the morning. My first hour is meditation and speaking with God. I try not to even look at electronics for the first couple hours of my day because we know what that happens, you know, right. It takes you away. And then I dip into, you know, I watch just a little bit of news and read the newspaper, and then boom, I open the computer, I open my phone, and usually by noon I'm still in my pajamas because I've gotten so much work done between the hours of 8 and 12 that I haven't even had time to walk away from the computers and whatnot. But my day consists of photo shoots. It consists of videos, you know, creating videos with my teams. It's a lot of conference calls. I also do coaching calls. I go to different meetings. I do a lot of philanthropy work. So I go to all kinds of meetings involving different charities. I'm always brainstorming. We've got vision boards all over my office of us brainstorming what's the next big thing, you know, what do we want to do next. It's just, you know, collaborations. I'm always on an airplane flying somewhere to do collaborations with other YouTubers and other Instagrammers, doing meetings with different companies to come up with different collaborations.
Wow.
It's just never ending. Like last night at the very end of my night, I had to run off to a Texas Children's Hospital gala. I was dead tired, but you know, too bad, you know, you keep going. Yep. And so my day yesterday ended around 11:30 last night, fell into bed, got back up, you know, but yeah, so it's just, it's never ending.
Who keeps you so organized? Don't say yourself. Come on now, you have to.
it's me and a couple assistants, but for the majority of it, it's me. I'm very OCDC. I have vision boards. I have calendars. Everything is on schedule. You know, even my workouts, if I want, you know, because I love working out. So I have to make my workout an appointment so that it's in my appointment book so that I make it. Because if it's not, then, you know as well as I do, if it's not an appointment, we forget about it. It
exactly.
never happens. And so health is very important to me. Working out every day is like brushing teeth every day for me. So it's very much a part of my life.
So, yeah, well, I was watching. So one of your projects is a YouTube channel and you have a show. Tell me about the show.
The Interns.
Yes.
Yeah. I was looking for another assistant and I said, hey, why don't we turn it into a show? Why don't we call it The Interns? And we have a little competition between interns to see who ends up becoming my next assistant. And so it was very well applauded. People loved it. And for me, not being a huge YouTuber, granted, a year ago, I was only sitting at 9,600 subscribers. And right. now I'm knocking on the door at 120,000 subscribers. So to grow almost 120,000 people in a year for being a somewhat nobody on YouTube was a huge goal, and it, and we did it. I said I was going to do it by the end of July, and I missed it by 2 weeks. We made it by the middle of August. So I found that YouTube has become my new platform. I look back at my old personal training days where I was able to help people one-on-one, you know, for an hour at a time. Now I feel like YouTube is like my new platform. I can still be that motivator that I was as a personal trainer, but instead of doing it one-on-one, now I'm able to reach the masses.
It's unbelievable. You talk about that, your growth, but you're a social media influencer. Is your Instagram stronger than your YouTube?
It is, and it always has been, but that was because I wasn't really paying any attention to YouTube. You know, I was just like, YouTube, who wants to be on YouTube, you know? And so I was just playing around with YouTube. I wasn't even taking it serious. But about a year ago, we said, well, what the heck? If we're going to have a channel, we might as well, because people kept saying, your life is so amazing. Why don't you capture it? And I was like, really? And so about a year ago, we decided, okay, we're going to capture it. And so we started pumping stuff out there. And it was just amazing how I was welcomed by the public. And we're making a prediction that next year at this time, I'll be at 500,000 subscribers.
I think you definitely will. I watched it. It's well production. It's very entertaining. And that's the important thing. And then it helps to have your platform of Instagram. As somebody that...
Right.
Wasn't social media, did you expect to have such an explosion on Instagram when you started that platform?
No. And once again, I'm not in my teens or my 20s. And so, you know, once you get past, you know, 45, 50, you're like, I don't want to say you're social media stupid, but, you know, right. It just doesn't seem to be that important, you don't think. But then when you start really paying attention to it, you're like, holy crap, this is where we are today. You know? So, you know, it's like I do coaching calls all the time and people are like, okay, I've got a budget of this much for advertising. And I went over it and I'm like, first of all, you shouldn't even have a budget for advertising, because with social media, there is no advertising budget anymore. It's free. Like, use social media, people, come on, you know? So even myself over the past few years have learned the power of social media, and it's just amazing.
It definitely is, and you get to collaborate with other social media people, and I'm a semi-influencer, not to your level, but I have a pretty good following on certain platforms, and I, again, need a team just like you to be able
sure.
to be done. It can't be done all yourself, especially with all the different
no.
things you do. So tell us your latest projects, but I think that you use Instagram for sure for your product lines, because Instagram is the place to really get people really engaged to buy product. I think that's
yeah. And you know, I actually did things backwards. Back in the day, in around 2011, I was doing a TV show, and this network that I was working with said, "Hey, if you have any products you want out before the show airs, you need to have them out, or we're going to get 50% of everything." So I, like an idiot, went out there and started mass producing all kinds of products because I didn't want them to get, you know, a share of anything. And at that time, I wasn't really that known on social media. I was known, but not really known. And so I, like an idiot, sat on that product a lot, because unless you have a following or unless you want to do trade shows or whatever, you're going to sit on that product. and because I was not that well known on social media. And so now, yeah, now I can sell snow to an Eskimo because of social media.
It's tremendous. So give us your latest projects. I know you have a bunch of them, but I want you to definitely tell people about it, because again, one thing, Teresa, are you ever going to think about making the move to a reality show? Not just YouTube,
yeah.
Going to it, because you definitely, I believe, are perfect candidate, especially because of your inspiring, but also you're not going to take flack from anybody, and it's just going to, it's a perfect to be on television. I'm waiting for that reality show. Is that going to...
Well, that was just it. Back in 2011, we pretty much had one, and a family member destroyed everything, and there was restraining orders because of it. But so for 8 years, I've never lost that dream. I had it in my hand in 2011, and someone else destroyed it. And so for 8 years now, I've continued to work very hard at it. Time has been my best friend. I've been on many, many, many different shows. I've been seen on Married to Medicine Houston. I was actually picked for the cast of Real Housewives of Houston, but they chose Dallas over Houston because they put together the wrong cast out here. And I've had little spot segments in many different other reality shows. And so I want my own show, and I do believe it's going to happen. I've never quit working for it. And I think we're on the very verge of it possibly happening now.
Well, once it happens, you have to come back on my show, even though even though you're going to be on a bunch of different things, and you go on your Instagram tomorrow and get huge publicity. I think what you've learned in your career is every place, give everyone an opportunity to speak with you, because you never know who's going to find you, who's going to discover your story.
Yep.
Because you're not going to get this story about rheumatic fever out in a soundbite 3 minutes. That's for sure.
No.
And that's, I have chills, Teresa, just because of some of the things that you have, the mindset you have, that I have those certain dreams and aspirations as an entrepreneur as well, to never give up, to keep looking at it, grow a platform. But then sometimes things start to look like they don't turn out, and then it all changes. You talked about 2011, you wanted to become this, then you had to do it your way. And that's always the Teresa way. I think that needs to be a thing. Instead of I did it my way, I did it Teresa's way. There you go. There's a quote right there. And, you know, now that opportunity is going to come. And sometimes we have to understand, we have to wait till our time comes, but we have to strive and scratch and claw our way through that. But ultimately, sometimes we don't know when that time comes.
Right. And I'm a firm believer in manifestation, and I'm a firm believer in putting what you want in life out into the universe. And, you know, I've had a lot of this out into the universe since I was a little girl, and one by one by one, it has all happened. And I've never known when it was going to happen. There was no timeline, you know, but I just said, someday in my life, this is going to happen. And it's always been happening. And so I don't give up on things. And I'm a firm believer that there's a higher power, and our life is written out for us, and we're not in control of that time. So I'm a firm believer it's going to happen.
So here's my take on this. Next year, I'll be out in Houston again. This time, we will be going, you'll be a reality star somewhere. Either YouTube will blow up even more, or you'll be on a station. My internet radio station I own will broadcast live, we'll stream it on Facebook, and we'll do it from your house. We'll plan it all out next time I'm in Houston, because I think it'll be awesome.
Perfect.
We'll build both of our audiences together, and I expect we're going to double in size, both of us, by the time next year comes in December. Best place you can find about your products and everything, where can we go, Teresa?
You can go to my website, teresaromer.com. Everything's on there.
Absolutely. And well, thanks for taking the time. I'm rooting for you. I can't wait to see you on reality show, and I'm definitely going to continue to watch your YouTube stuff. And you're inspiring people, and that's the important thing. You're not using your platform in a way that's going to be disrespectful, that's not going to inspire others. You really want to do what you've done from the beginning as a personal trainer, entrepreneur, fitness. You want to transform people, and you know a platform like these platforms are the only way you can. So I appreciate
what you're doing.
Best of luck.
Definitely. Well, thank you for having me on. I really, really, really appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, Teresa. Take care. Okay.
Thanks. Bye bye.
You'll listen to Neil Haley's show when we'll be back.
Well, that's how we operate here on the Dr. Christopher Hall Show and also the Neil Haley Network.
Well, definitely. I'm doing great today. I'm very excited about our guest today.
Yeah, I am too. I'm a big fan of his. And anytime we talk Steelers.
We have before us the opportunity to forge a new world order.
There is a man behind the curtain. This isn't the Wizard of Oz. The shakeup to the music business machine.
That sounds fun!
This is a far more deadly predator than anyone ever imagined.
Perfectly designed.
I wonder which came first.
CyberStation USA.
CyberStation USA is the future of radio. Get your business into the online future at the world's largest internet radio station. From banner placement on our homepage to any of our broadcaster stages, commercials on our video player, audio spots on any of our shows, or at the beginning of any of our on-demand broadcasts. CyberStation USA offers competitive rates with a worldwide reach, a fully integrated one-stop shop social media broadcast platform. For more information, please contact our sales department at cameo@cyberstationusa.com.
Cameo Entertainment Group and CyberStation USA are now part of Stitcher, a free radio app for your smartphone. With Stitcher, you can listen to live programming as well as archive radio programming right on your phone. To obtain Stitcher, just go to the App Store for your particular phone. Go to search, then type in Stitcher. That's Stitcher. S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
Then download. It's that simple. Stitcher, a free radio app for your smartphone. Convenient access to live and archive CyberStation USA programming on your mobile phone. That's Stitcher.
S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
CyberStation USA. Always on the go.
Every so often you have technology come along that rewrite the rules of the game.
Digital culture isn't characterized by the home computer.
You speak instantly to a man standing on the shore of France.
The CyberStation, the USA, the .com.
Worldwide.
Everything has changed.
A new age.
The biggest ride in all of history.
This is CyberStationUSA.com.
Worldwide.
This is the future.
The future.
Radio.
The future.
The future of radio.
And that really is the message.
Talk Steelers, and it's a perfect week to just talk about a big win. So we're both smiling for sure at Dr. Hall. So go ahead and introduce our guest.
Well, awesome. We know it's my pleasure and great honor to introduce our distinguished guest, a glowing light of inspiration for young people around the world, a champion on the football field and in the classroom, recently retired Pittsburgh Steelers and now noted author, Mr. Arthur Most. Arthur, welcome to the show.
Man, I appreciate you, man. And that was an awesome introduction, by the way. You have me feeling very distinguished over here, man.
Hey, you are distinguished, Arthur. You're not giving yourself credit for the thing. So I'm just going to take you back in certain ways of your going back to your childhood, Arthur, and kind of talk about what kind of family did you grow up in? And did you always have that aspiration to play football?
Yeah, so for me, I grew up in Norfolk, Virginia, right down by Virginia Beach. And growing up, man, it was definitely humble beginnings, but both my parents were pastors and my father was he had recently retired out of the Marines after doing 13 years of service. So it was a ton of discipline. It was a ton of just always being positive mindset, positive reinforcements, and that type of mentality and attention to detail. And early on, I knew I wanted to play football. I knew I wanted to make it to the NFL. And where a lot of people were reading the statistics and telling me how hard or daunting of a task that was, they were always the two believing in me, saying that I could do it if I put my mind to it. I could do it if I did the little things right and stuff like that, man. So that was my upbringing, and that really helped set the stage for me to make it to the NFL and to have the career that I did have.
And see, that's why I already handpicked. I said, Arthur's a perfect guest for you, Dr. Hall, because it goes back to, again, things that we talk about in overcoming odds, but also having that mindset, are, you know, surrounding yourself with the right people, Dr. Hall.
Definitely. And, you know, being a veteran myself, I certainly appreciate your father's service there.
Man, I appreciate your service as well.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Well, you know, Arthur, you certainly have overcome a lot of adversity, you know, kind of beginning when you were a young person. Tell us what it was like going to school in the inner city school,
and growing up where you did.
Yeah, man, when you're growing up in the inner city of Norfolk and stuff like that, you definitely see some very rough sights, whether it's people who are abusing opioids and things like that, different shootings and violence and stuff like that. Obviously, in the school systems, there isn't a lot of money allocated to the school. So from a resources standpoint, your textbooks are typically older or they are damaged. A lot of them, I remember always having duct tape and thinking that that's normal for the book until you get to college and you're like, oh, this is what a new book looks like.
But
the biggest thing for me was just understanding that regardless of the cards I was dealt, regardless of my circumstances, don't let that dictate what I want to be. Don't let that dictate what my future can be. I always felt that if I put my mind to something, if I put the effort into it, that I could achieve it. And that's how I treated my schoolwork. That's how I treated when I made it to the NFL. And then ultimately when I got my master's degree and then when I went on to write a book, those were my biggest things. It was like when I set my mind to do something, regardless of the circumstance, regardless of my current situation, I can't let that deter me from my ultimate goal.
So you set goals for yourself, which is such an important part of it, Arthur. And you talked about your family background. So even though you grew up in a not well-to-do home, you grew up in a very good family atmosphere. You went through the difficulties and challenges of an inner city school, as Dr. Hall brought up. When you deal with all that stuff and set goals for yourself, but the people around you don't set those goals, how do you kind of stay grounded to make sure you do follow through on those things? And that's where your whole process of the book now is the motivational. We'll get to that later in this interview. But really, it's all about the whole focus of motivation and how you self-motivated yourself through those challenges.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. It can be very difficult to find motivation from outside sources when people around you doubt it people around you doubt you, or they don't believe in what you're trying to accomplish. But for me, the thing that I realized was I can't look for motivation elsewhere, because there's so many examples of people that don't do it the right way. So many examples of people that want to have the quick route to success, the easy route. But for me, I learned that if I just take it one step at a time, one day at a time, and I continue to be my biggest cheerleader, that I can achieve anything. I can overcome any obstacle. And by no means am I saying that I've achieved everything that I wanted to achieve. And by no means have I never failed. In fact, I failed a ton of times. But for me, I don't let the fear of failure paralyze me. I looked at it as, let me take that fear and use it as a motivational tool. Let me use that instead of it being a blockage in front of me. Let me use it as a pushing force behind me to help me overcome some of these obstacles.
And Dr. Hall, that's very interesting what Arthur was bringing up about, again, going through adversity and pushing through those things, that it makes you stronger. And we hear stories, Dr. Hall, of successful people like yourself, that you were going through a lot of adversity, but you set yourself towards that when you talked about your book and going through and helping young people, is that you overcame those adversities. Right, Dr. Hall?
You know, you're exactly right, Neil. And, you know, Arthur makes a great point that, you know, it's really not necessarily the adversity what happens to you, but how you react to it. But, you know, Arthur, I know certainly your parents were probably, you know, role models for you growing up, but did you have any other role models, historical figures, or maybe even people you saw on television when you were growing up?
Yeah, man, for me growing up, I had a couple of people that I really looked up to. Number one was Martin Luther King. Understanding how he could set his eyes on something that he viewed as negative or something wrong and motivate so many people to follow him to change that. And then not only him, but then Allen Iverson. Allen Iverson was big for me because coming from my hometown, he was a guy that I could look to and say, man, we look just alike. He has braids, I have braids. He's from this area, I'm from this area, but he's had to overcome some things, I'm overcoming things. But now, this is when he's with the 76ers, I'm like, here he is having success playing for NBA championship right now. And sometimes it takes you seeing people that have had rough journeys but could be successful for you to say, okay, there is a model of this. Because I feel like for a lot of people, if they don't see an example of it, sometimes it's hard for them to just be the innovator and say, that, okay, I'm going to be the first to do this.
I feel like once you get that blueprint, though, like for me, seeing Allen Iverson's blueprint, seeing Dr. Martin Luther King and his blueprint, for me, that led to me being able to formulate my own journey, my own path based off of those two guys.
That's amazing that you talk awesome. About that, because you saw somebody who grew up in your neighborhood and was successful, and you said, well, I want to go ahead and be, if he can do it, I can do it. Arthur, did you ever get a chance to meet Allen Iverson?
No, I actually never did, not directly, at least. Obviously, through social media, it is one thing, but to have that direct person-to-person contact, I have not.
Even after your career in sports, never been an event or anything with near him. That's wild to think that.
Yeah, it's crazy. And it was funny, though, the other guy, Allen Iverson was the biggest one, but Michael Vick was another guy, and I actually did have a chance to be his teammate here in Pittsburgh, so that was a surreal moment for me during that phase as well, because he's another guy from my hometown, had success, had to overcome obstacles, and still be able to defeat the odds.
Right, and that's the too bad thing that we don't look at in society, Arthur, and I'm bringing this up because, again, this is all about motivation and overcoming, is Michael Vick did some wrong things. He made the wrong decisions,
absolutely,
but he overcame those obstacles and changed his life and has done some great things, and still people want to down him. And that's too bad, because people kind of, at times in our lives, we're going to do things that really we aren't proud of, but we're broken, but we can fix ourselves to make a difference. And Michael Vick's done that. Isn't that correct? That doesn't show up in the media sometimes of what he did.
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, you're absolutely right. In terms of, you know, just hitting on what he did post being released from prison and stuff like that, the activism that he's done in terms of animal awareness, dog awareness and stuff like that, and then just the amount of money that he's allocated to those type of foundations and organizations, I mean, it's been nothing short of awesome. But that's the nature of the world we live in, the culture that we live in. It takes, you know, years to become a successful person, years to build your reputation. You have a lapse in judgment. And even after you have served your time or you've, you know, experienced your punishment from it, it still lingers. And that's just the unfortunate element of it. But the thing that I liked so much about him post that incident is that he was open about it. He hasn't been trying to hide about it. And I feel like a lot of times as guys in particular, we like to not be so open when it comes to our shortcomings, our failures, when it comes to things that we aren't very proud of. We like to be very secretive about it. But for him, man, he puts it on his sleeve and he wears it. And ultimately, I think that he's growing to become a better person for that.
Absolutely. And that's where, again, Pittsburgh did open up the doors for him and there were protesters, but there were people that had said, hey, we'll give you a second chance. And that's what Pittsburgh is a place that gives people a second chance for sure, compared to others.
Oh, absolutely.
And that's what's so great about it. They all, because of this, just this mentality of Pittsburgh, and for sure. So Dr. Hall, again, we're learning about Arthur and the two big role models that he saw that were athletes that went on to become professionals. So Dr. Hall, what's your next question for Arthur?
Well, you know, I guess we want to talk a little bit about the book.
That's great.
I like it.
Yeah, that's for sure. So tell us about that. Yeah.
Well, you know, yeah. Arthur, the thing is, you've written a very important book, The Moat Theory of Life, A Guide to Becoming a Person of Impact and Inspiration. And we know it's an autobiography, so you tell us about it.
Yeah, man. So the biggest thing when I was writing this book, I wanted to make sure that it wasn't an autobiography, because I feel like so many athletes or even just people of status, when they retire or at certain points in their life, they feel the need to write autobiography. And once you read it once, it's pretty much irrelevant after that. So for me, I wanted to create something that could be used multiple times. I was thinking more of a literature, like a textbook. You read it at one point in your life, it has an impact on you, it helps you. You read it at another point in your life, it can still help you. And it didn't matter which age you were. So that was why I wanted to make it important for the inspirational element and the impactful element. And when we talk about the theory of life for the moats, for me. We're talking about the chapters. The first one, M, stands for making happiness a priority, because a lot of people, they don't view themselves as their happiness as a priority. They want to please other people, and they never figure out what truly makes them happy, what their purpose truly is. So I always try to make sure that that needs to be one of the focuses for openness yields strength. A lot of guys, in particular men, we like to avoid being open about our feelings, about our issues and our shortcomings. I think it's important to be transparent with the people that you hold close, because that will help you grow, and that'll help the people around you grow. For A, actively seek to inspire. I think that it's important that we inspire others, because you never know who you could be inspiring and what they might be able to accomplish as well. And ultimately, it will lead to all of us being better people and having a better world. And then for T, turning fear into focus. We talked about that a little bit earlier, but people a lot of times will set a goal and then they will be scared to go for it because they don't want to fail. They don't want to look crazy. And I say, instead of using that fear and letting it block you, put it behind you and let it be a pushing force. Let it motivate you to take that leap, to do something that you thought you couldn't do. And then for S, I said smile. And that's, I break it down as S-M-I-L-E, spread my inner love everywhere. Because I feel like we all naturally are good people. We all naturally have a positive soul. And when we smile at somebody, just think about how contagious it is. Think about how you can have the worst day ever, but if somebody smiles at you, you just naturally smile back. You naturally feel better.
We have before us the opportunity to forge a new world order.
There is a man behind the curtain. This isn't the Wizard of Oz. We shake up to the music business machine.
That sounds fun!
This is a far more deadly predator than anyone ever imagined.
Perfectly designed.
I wonder which came first.
CyberStation USA.
CyberStation USA is the future of radio. Get your business into the online future at the world's largest internet radio station. From banner placement on our homepage to any of our broadcaster stages, commercials on our video player, audio spots on any of our shows, or at the beginning of any of our on-demand broadcasts. CyberStation USA offers competitive rates with a worldwide reach, a fully integrated one-stop shop social media broadcast platform. For more information, please contact our sales department at cameo@cyberstationusa.com.
Cameo Entertainment Group and CyberStation USA are now part of Stitcher, a free radio app for your smartphone. With Stitcher, you can listen to live programming as well as archive radio programming right on your phone. To obtain Stitcher, just go to the App Store for your particular phone. Go to search, then type in Stitcher. That's Stitcher. S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
Then download. It's that simple. Stitcher, a free radio app for your smartphone. Convenient access to live and archived CyberStation USA programming on your mobile phone. That's Stitcher.
S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
CyberStation USA. Always on the go.
Every so often you have technology come along that rewrite the rules of the game.
Digital culture isn't characterized by the home computer.
You speak instantly to a man standing on the shore of France.
The CyberStation, the USA, the .com.
Worldwide.
Everything has changed.
A new age.
The biggest ride in all of history.
This is CyberStationUSA.com.
Worldwide.
This is the future.
The future.
Radio.
The future.
The future.
The future of radio.
And that really is the message.
Actually feel better about yourself. So that's why I thought it was important to have that in there. And ultimately, man, I feel like when you read the book and you really deep dive into these chapters and see the examples I give, people are going to have a better understanding and ultimately be better people for it.
Arthur, and I wanted to kind of jump back specifically when you look at each one of those areas and levels to talk about. Is there one thing in each one of them that you could say, because again, you mentioned all of it, they got to buy the book. But is there one component you look at for yourself that you say real simple things that our listeners can do right now involving that those strategies?
Yeah, man. Yeah. So let's see. We talked about, I guess, you want me to go from chapter to chapter, or just one thing as a whole?
Just one thing as a whole, just to kind of.
Okay, yeah. So I'll say the easiest thing would be openness. Being open, having openness yields strength. So for me, it started this simple. And I talk about this a lot more in depth in the book. I talked about how just simple when I would have a conversation with my wife, whether I was happy or sad or whatever it may be. And she's like, hey, how are you feeling today? Oh, I'm good. Or are you tired? No, I'm good. I'm all right. I'm good. Nothing's ever wrong with me. even though it was times where I was miserable with situations at work, where I was upset with other family issues with my parents or my siblings and things like that, and how it would affect our relationship just because I didn't simply say, well, actually, babe, I'm a little upset about this. Or actually, babe, I'm a little tired because of this. And just a simple thing like that changed the trajectory of me and my wife's marriage.
Oh, wow. That's powerful. And they definitely got to look at picking up the book based on those things. And so, Arthur, what is your ultimate goal with this book?
Man, my ultimate goal is for this book to just impact lives. I want it to be something that when people read this, they say, man, this helped me. This changed my life for the better. Because ultimately, I feel like that's what I was put on this earth to do, was to have that positive impact on people. I tried to make sure I did that through my career with some of the philanthropic efforts that I did. And I want to make sure that that continues through this book. This is something that can be timeless. It doesn't matter, like I said, how old you are. It doesn't matter if you're reading it today or if you read it again a year from now, you're always going to be able to find something in this book to help you be a better person. That's ultimately my goal for this book.
Well, I can't believe when you talk about those areas, Dr. Hall, what are your thoughts? I mean, again, it's such an inspiring thing, and that people can kind of look at each one of the letters in his name and say, okay, this is what I got to work on. This is what I got to improve.
Exactly. I mean, and those are certainly very important points of wisdom that he's laid out there. And so this is great because we know that millions of young people in America are listening to this message. And Arthur, he's a person of high energy. He has lifted lots of spirits over the years. He's philanthropy. I mean, he's donated a large part of his income to charity and those things. And so we're very happy that he's published this book and that he's been a great example for our young people.
Man, I definitely appreciate those kind of words, too.
All right, so we're going to jump to something real quick, Arthur, because we have you on the show and we have the opportunity because of your busy schedule with the fan and all the different projects you're doing to talk about your greatest moment as a Steeler. And then also, I guess, in the NFL, kind of going to all the other teams versus the Steelers. What was your greatest moment playing for the Steelers?
Man, so my greatest moment playing for the Steelers would have to be in 2014 when we won the division on a Sunday night game versus Cincinnati Bengals. And the reason is, that was my first time ever having, number one, a winning season, but number two, winning any type of division championships at the NFL level. That's why it was like so important to me that we were able to do that. And me being a key part of it in terms of making plays throughout the season to get us to that point. For me, that's a season, that's a moment that will always, be near and dear to my heart.
Wow, that's a great moment. What about NFL, other teams you played for? Greatest moment.
Yeah, and then my other greatest moment, man, would definitely have to go back to my rookie season playing against the Minnesota Vikings, being able to have the big play, the big hit on Brett Favre. He had the starting streak for, I think it was 297 games. I hit him. He doesn't play the next week due to the hit and due to him getting hurt. And literally that Iron Man streak being broke after it lasted for – 20, like something crazy in terms of the amount of seasons, almost 20 seasons, I believe. And you think about the different amount of Hall of Famers that had hit him, the different Pro Bowls, All Pros that had hit him, had sacks against him, and he would still be able to come back the next week. And the fact that I was a part of a legendary moment like that, for me, man, I always hold that near and dear in my heart.
All right, Dr. Hall, next question for Arthur.
Well, yeah, Arthur, he's kind of outlined some attention. And again, he stated that he played 9 years. We know the average time is only about 3 years.
Yeah.
And so he's had some difficult times, particularly I think when he had the teams there probably in the fourth season. And so that's a lot of pressure on a person. How are you able to handle that kind of pressure?
Yeah, man, for me, I think the biggest thing when it came to pressure, I looked at it as, if they're asking me or the expectation is of me to do something that I don't feel I'm capable of doing, then I would view that as pressure. But for me, I always thought that I was capable of being a leader. I always thought I was capable of making plays for a team. I always thought that I was capable of being a key contributor on winning teams. And that was always my mindset when it came to these seasons, regardless of what was going on or what was being said. So that was how I always viewed the pressure and how I would handle it, so to speak.
That's a great answer. Now, life great. After football, Arthur. Now we talk. I talked about the fan. I keep promoting. You know, you being having a show now. How did it develop? You know, life after football. Did you have a plan?
I actually did, man. So when we talked about life after football, this had been in the works for probably the past 2 to 3 years. Going into my third year here in Pittsburgh after I signed my contract extension, I had a time where I was contemplating retiring then. And it wasn't, like I said, an ability thing. It was just I was starting to feel a little burnt out. I was starting to feel a little less enthused about the grind. And when I speak of the grind, I'm talking the workouts in the morning, the nutrition, the film study, and things like that. But I was like, you know, as long as I still had that itch to play and I wanted to be great, then I was going to continue. But when I started having those feelings, I started seeing, okay, what do I want to do? So I went to the broadcast boot camp and I was like, okay, I love this by the NFL, being able to work with guys like James Brown, talk with guys like Ross Tucker and guys who've been in the media industry and had success.
Right.
And from there, I was like, you know what? I think I really want to do this media thing. So before I signed with Arizona, I was a free agent and I was contemplating retiring then. And I had an offer to do some color commentary stuff. But literally the day I get the offer for the color commentary job is the same day the Cardinals called me and offered me a contract. And I had the conversation to go with my wife and I'm like, man, I really want to just hop into this media thing. And she's like, well, do you still want to play at all? And I'm like, I do a little bit. And for there, it was like, okay, let's go out there. But when I got hurt and I got put on injury reserve, it really was a blessing in disguise because it helped me with my transition. It helped me be able to start doing some media work in a freelance variety. And then after I signed an injury settlement and I came back to Pittsburgh, they welcomed me back with open arms. They had let me do a radio show with them on their Steeler Nation radio, and then started doing some of their social media work. And then from there, that carried over into this year, which is officially, I guess, my first year as a retired NFL player or a former player. And it just opened so many doors in terms of me being able to do radio shows with the fan, do radio shows, like I said, with the Steelers, be a part of their media team from a social media standpoint and some of their pregame work and things like that. And then also being able to do some studio analyst stuff. So this was a plan that, like I said, for the past 2 to 3 years was definitely in the works.
I see you as a national guy, Arthur. Is that going to happen? I know
I definitely appreciate that.
I really just think you have the right talent. You're very articulate in your conversations and you understand the game. It's a process, right? It's almost like who you know in that industry as well, because no one wants to get off out of the broadcast booth, right?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. For me, that definitely is a plan of mine. That's a goal of mine. And I've set a timetable for myself. And I have to remind myself a lot of times that this is just my first year out. I haven't even been a full year. But I've been able to accomplish a lot thus far in terms of the opportunities I've been allotted through radio and television. So for me right now, I'm focused on just continuing to keep my feet to the ground, my head down, and just working each day and building up that resume, building up these reps. Because I said, just like football, I didn't wake up and be an NFL player. It took years for me to get to that level. And then once I got there, I had to work that much harder to stay there. So I treat the media business the exact same way. I make sure that I study myself. I study film of other broadcasters and radio personalities or TV personalities that I think do a really good job. And I try to take bits and pieces from each one. And the things that I think help me out, I use. And the things that I don't, I tend to not use. But that's ultimately how I have been progressing through this thing. And like I said, man, that being a goal in terms of making it to the national ranks, that definitely is something I'm working towards.
I believe he will. Dr. Hall, last question you have for Arthur.
Well, you know, it's, I mean, he's answered, almost every question I can think of. You know, words really cannot express, and time's really not enough to really explain just the greatness he's done. And he talks about education. He leaves out a little bit. I mean, he earned his master's degree while he was still playing professional football. He made sure to go back and get that degree from James Madison, so I'm just very excited that he has basically taken God's path and inspired these young people here in America. So thank you, Arthur.
Yeah, I definitely appreciate you, man. It definitely means a lot to me.
Arthur's your book, and learn more about you. Arthur, where's the best
place to go? Yeah, so motestheory.com. Yeah, it's just motestheory.com. that have all the information up there. And then obviously my personal website is arthurmotes55.com.
All right, fabulous. Thanks for coming on. You and I are definitely going to connect again for sure in Pittsburgh. And I'm glad you're back in Pittsburgh, but I just see you as a great talent and you have a lot of ability in this industry. And I know you're going to go to the highest level because you want to work hard to learn it. So best of luck in your broadcasting career and your speaking career. And I appreciate you calling.
Man, I definitely appreciate you again.
All right, take care, guys. Thanks.
All right, thank you.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. You're listening to Dr. Christopher Hall's show, and take care, guys.
We have before us the opportunity to forge a new world order.
There is a man behind the curtain. This isn't the Wizard of Oz. The shakeup to the music business machine.
That sounds fun!
This is a far more deadly predator than anyone ever imagined.
Perfectly designed.
I wonder which came first.
CyberStation USA.
CyberStation USA is the future of radio. Get your business into the online future at the world's largest internet radio station. From banner placement on our homepage to any of our broadcaster stages, commercials on our video player, audio spots on any of our shows, or at the beginning of any of our on-demand broadcasts. CyberStation USA offers competitive rates with a worldwide reach, a fully integrated one-stop shop social media broadcast platform. For more information, please contact our sales department at cameo@cyberstationusa.com.
Cameo Entertainment Group and CyberStation USA are now part of Stitcher, a free radio app for your smartphone. With Stitcher, you can listen to live programming as well as archive radio programming right on your phone. To obtain Stitcher, just go to the App Store for your particular phone. Go to search, then type in Stitcher. That's Stitcher. S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
Then download. It's that simple. Stitcher, a free radio app for your smartphone. Convenient access to live and archive CyberStation USA programming on your mobile phone. That's Stitcher.
S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
CyberStation USA. Always on the go.
Every so often you have technology come along that rewrite the rules of the game.
Digital culture isn't characterized by the home computer.
You speak instantly to a man standing on the shore of France.
The CyberStation, the USA, the .com.
Worldwide.
Everything has changed.
A new age.
The biggest ride in all of history.
This is CyberStationUSA.com.
Worldwide.
This is the future.
The future.
Radio.
The future.
The future of radio.
And that really is the message.